Only 13% of adopted children in the U.S. are foreign-born. The rest are domestic adoptions. In those cases, social service agencies might match up a child and parents, or a private agency is enlisted. Or, as NPR's Tovia Smith reports, a lawyer represents a birth mother who wants to find a home for her coming child.
In many ways, 16-year-old Evelyn says she feels lucky that she didn't get pregnant in what she calls the old days, when girls who, quote, got in trouble would disappear for a while and have their babies in secret. Yes, her pregnancy was unplanned, and yes, she says, she would have chosen abortion if she hadn't found out too late. But now, 8.5 months pregnant, Evelyn says she feels no shame or sense of tragedy about it.
Hey, it's all baby.
Look at the stretch marks. Poor thing.
No. Evelyn pulls up her oversized sweatshirt and shows off her bulging belly. She's one of about a dozen pregnant girls in her high school, and while being a teen mother in her small northeastern city might not raise many eyebrows anymore, she says being the only one in school deciding to place a baby for adoption definitely does.
Girls now are like, oh, you're going to miss it. It's just like, you know what, I'll miss it, but you want to know what? I'm doing what's best for the child. This baby deserves the world. And I would feel really bad knowing that I couldn't raise them the best that Martha could.
This is Bob and Martha here.
For what must be the 100th time, Evelyn and her mom flip through photos of the couple she's chosen to adopt her baby.
Like, you look at, like, their lifestyle and what their house looks like, and for once it actually looks like a house actually people live in.
Growing up as one of four kids to a struggling single mom, Evelyn says it means a lot to know that her baby will have everything he needs, from toys to attention. And after her sister died in a car crash a few months ago, Evelyn says it also started to mean a lot to be able to give the gift of life to someone else who was grieving too.
To see these people that have tried for 7 years and that love and care about each other very much, and then to be able to give them this gift and be like, your pain and suffering's over. It's really beautiful to see and to be able to know that you were able to give these people the greatest gift of all and having a child for Christmas.
So the bottom line, Evelyn, for you is that it's totally your decision.
Yeah.
And that can change.
In one of their many after-school appointments, Evelyn's attorney, Ann McLean Custer, walks a fine line, encouraging her client to do what she and her family believe is best, while still making sure this teenager understands the enormity of what she's doing.
My point is, until we go to court, all you've got to do is pick up the phone and say, nope, it's not happening. For any reason or no reason at all.
I've gotten more in the mindset of, like, I'm having this kid for them.
Yeah.
And, like, every now and then, like, people be like, oh, yeah, how's your baby? It's like, it's not my baby. This is Bob and Martha's son or daughter or whatever.
So far, Evelyn has declined any counseling. She's sure adoption is the right decision, but she admits she still has doubts as to whether she'll actually be able to go through with it.
I think, like, I'm going to see this child and I'm going to, like, the first mother instincts, you're going to want to hold him and be able to tell him that you love him this much. And, like, I really don't want to do that. I kind of just want to separate myself. I'm very afraid of getting close and bonding with him and or her and just being like, oh, my God, I can't do this.
Evelyn says she takes comfort in knowing that once she places her baby, the door will not be closed forever. As is typical of birth mothers now, she's asking the adoptive family to send letters and pictures of the baby every month for the first few years, and she wants the possibility of visits.
Martha has told me that if I really felt like I needed to have some kind of comfort with this, that I could go and see him and see how he's doing.
Good. One thing for you to understand, there's no...
Evelyn's attorney quickly reminds her that in her state, as in most, such promises of openness are not enforceable in court. And some birth moms complain that families sometimes pay lip service to the idea to seal a deal, but then cut contact sometime after the baby's born.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, Keenan.
About a dozen people have already come to visit Evelyn in the hospital just hours after she had her baby. Pushed by her attorney and her mom, Evelyn is deciding to hold her baby more than she thought she'd dare.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're one funky looking baby, but you're so adorable.
Turns out it's both comforting and painful.
This morning, my mom was holding him, and I started crying. I was just like, he's so beautiful, and
just those moments every now and then a mother gets. I thought, what if? And I'm just like, no. Because I know he's going to a better place and going to be raised better than I could ever raise him, so.
The adoptive mom, Martha, has been with Evelyn in the delivery room since the first hour of labor. She's the one who cut the umbilical cord, and at Evelyn's insistence, it was also Martha who first held the baby to her bare chest. In just a little while, about 24 hours after delivery, Evelyn will go home and leave the baby with Martha and Bob. She says she knows she'll continue to hurt, but looking over at Martha cradling the baby, Evelyn says what she feels now is relief.
It still feels weird touching my belly knowing that there's nothing there anymore. But I know what's going to happen is right. And now he's just over there sitting all happy with his mom, so he's doing okay.
And so far, so too is Evelyn. Tovia Smith, NPR News.